Hello again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 193 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. Today, we're going to talk about a young man who had attended school here, gone on to state college, worked in his daddy's hardware store. He had served as a corporal and then a sergeant in the old 6th Company, and had been elected to city council in 1928. In 1932, he would become mayor and would serve 37 years, a longer term than any other mayor in the United States, as far as we know. His name was Al Edwards. Albert V. Edwards, the son of W.F. Edwards, who was a contractor and operated a hardware store on Main Street. This A.V. Edwards had returned from World War I as a sergeant in the old 6th Company. He was also known as the fighter of the company. And in those years, just after the war, one company would challenge the fighter of another company to battle their man, and naturally bets would be placed. One story I heard when I was a child was that promoters of the old 6th Company had challenged the fighter of the Greenville, South Carolina Company to a bout. And the fight took place on the sidewalk on 4th Avenue in front of the Kentucky Home. I was told the fight went on all afternoon and was finally declared a draw, with both battlers showing fierce scars from the fight, which went into dozens and dozens and dozens of rounds. The fighter for the old 6th Company, A.V. Edwards, Al Edwards, he was a tall, gangling young man and was a very shy person. Somehow, he managed to persuade one of the lovely Bly girls, Linda, to be his wife. Al Edwards was 39 years old when he was elected to city council. He had joined in the chorus of voices demanding running water, electric lights, paved streets, and a new city hall. And it would be after the fact when Al Edwards discovered that by 1926, the city owed not just 6% of its total valuation, but leaving out some fancy bookkeeping they'd been doing back then, the city owed 35% of the value of all property in the city, a very dangerous situation. After John Wilkins had been defeated by W.M. Sherrod as mayor in 1929, it was not exactly a run on the banks, as you recall from the Jimmy Stewart picture, It's a Wonderful Life. The public was simply so over-leveraged, even a slight downturn could put pressure on the banks. And on November 30th, 1930, all the banks closed, except for a little bank at Fletcher, which hung on for a few more days. From November 30th till December 4th, you couldn't even make change in this town. Financial transactions were all being done by the post office. The merchants dreamed up, well, the idea came from economist Roger Babson. The merchants started using the famous Babson checks. They were four times as big as standard checks, each was for $10, and each had to be endorsed 100 times before it can be converted into hard money at State Trust Company, which had managed to open with a very limited operation and small deposits on December 4th. Now, the Babson checks really meant by using only $10 of hard cash, but requiring it to be endorsed 100 times, you got the work of $1,000 for 10. Mayor Sherrod met with other specialists and economists, but when an offer presented to him to manage Green River Mills came along, Sherrod resigned as mayor and took that job. Harvey Riggin immediately made the motion to elect Al Edwards as mayor. Mayor Sherrod had already volunteered to cut the mayor's salary in half, and the city, to all intents and purposes, was bankrupt. Serving with Al Edwards from time to time as members of city council back in the 30s, were L.A. Blair, J.M. Foster, W.M. Sherrod, W. Walter O. Allen, Judge J.E. Shipman, W.C. Hinsdale, William Francis, Charlie Elliott, J.H. Rabin, T.D. Clark, J. Roy Williams, and T. Lee Osborne. Mayor Al quickly guided the council into rehiring Otis Powers as police chief, fire chief, head of the street and sanitation departments. He then persuaded council to a quick re-evaluation of city property, which drastically lowered not just the value of the property and made the percentage of debt load to value even astronomically higher, but it did lower the individual taxes, and a much higher percentage of taxes that were billed were being collected. He also approved a plan where able-bodied men could actually perform needed work for the city, and they would be paid in credits against their property taxes. Traffic signals were simply turned off during the winter months, and even the post office, which had been a first-class office since 1925, dropped to second class from 1932 until 35, when it regained first-class status. Mayor Al continued the policy of admitting transients who had no place to go to use one of the cells in the jail at City Hall, and in addition was given a hot breakfast the next morning before he left. In 1932, the local jail cared for 1,134 of these people. In 1933, 1,087. Even in 1934, over 900 had come, and they were from all 48 states. The road back, and 37 long years for Albert V. Edwards as mayor of Hendersonville, up through 1968. These memories from the seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, with the good sense never to leave. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.